Wake up, Coastal Carolina. Wake up. This is your CCTA Wake Up Call.
Produced by the Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association, a nonprofit, nonpartisan organization dedicated to the preservation of the U.S. Constitution, free enterprise, and individual liberty.
Good morning, Coastal Carolina, and welcome to CCTA Wake Up Call. Well, we're off to a new year, and that means we have a new legislative session. And on the line with me, I've got House Majority Leader, Representative John Bell. John, how are you today?
I'm doing great. Thank you for having me on.
Well, it's our pleasure, as usual. You're always welcome on our show, and we look forward to getting legislative updates from you. And you've just started a new legislative session. Can you give us a look into the future of what we can expect this year?
Well, what we've been doing this week is actually a lot of administrative duties, trying to work with our rules chair to get office assignments for new members. And we'll have seat assignments because on Wednesday the 11th, we'll actually be officially sworn in at the next legislative session come to town. And so we're in the process of getting that geared up. One of the interesting things that we will have for the first time, and I believe it's 25 years or so, is we will actually, on the House, we'll be voting on a new principal clerk. And the principal clerk is a very key component to making the General Assembly work. Handles filing bills, making sure bills are read in, and handles a lot of the parliamentary procedures that goes on in the General Assembly. And our current clerk, House Principal Clerk Denise Weeks, is retiring and has officially retired, but is going to stay on to help with the transition. So we'll be voting on a new principal clerk for the first time in a very, very long time there in the General Assembly. So that's a little bit of history there that will happen. And then we'll take a little recess until about the 25th of January. And during that time, we'll be getting members situated. Bills will start getting working and filed. We'll start having our caucus orientations and working with our new members, getting our legislative agenda in place, and then geared up ready to go when we open the door full swing it on the 25th.
Well, I'm glad
that's what we're doing now.
I'm glad you gave us that history on the principal clerk, because a lot of our listeners out there don't really know how the legislation process works in Raleigh. You know, they think all they have to do is call up a representative and say, how about put this bill in? But there's it's a lot more complicated than that. From what I understand, you're limited to the number of bills you could put in.
Correct. That is something that the Republican majority put in their rules a couple of years ago. You know, really, if you have more than 10 good ideas, after 10, they're probably really not good ideas. You know, I would like to see some people come here and not file any bills, but that's normally not going to happen. But nobody limited to 10 bills. And there's always ways for members to get things done if you use the rules to your advantage. That is one of the things that we will vote on when we come back in to the working session at the end of the month. We'll actually vote on the House rules. But when you contact a member or if a member is going to put forth legislation, it has to go through bill drafting and our fiscal research folks there, and they put it all together, work with bill drafting to put it together. That bill has to be vetted by the member, making sure that it meets the criteria and gets the agenda of the member across. That bill then has to be filed with the principal clerk's office and then distributed to the different committees through the rules, and the committee chairs will take those up accordingly and then to the floor. And all that has policies and procedures that go along with that, along with administrative duties. And so when we leave session, let's say we're having one of those long sessions that lasts 10, 11 o'clock at night, the House Principal Clerk office stays there after everyone leaves and makes sure that the next day calendar is done, that the bills are sent and filed. And I know people have heard of the special messenger that goes back and forth between chambers to make sure bills are transferred back and forth and the messages are received. the principal clerk handles all that. So it's a pretty intense job, but it's a very important job on keeping the house running. And Denise Weeks has done an outstanding job over the last number of years doing that for the House. And she has actually worked with both Republican and Democrat majorities, so it shows the respect that she has. And so we're looking forward to voting on a new clerk, and hopefully we'll be able to have the stability that Denise had for all those years.
And now you've got 10 bills per representative, correct?
Correct.
And how many representatives?
120. So still a lot of bills.
That's, yeah, 1,200 bills, right?
Possibility. 1,200 bills, and that does not count what comes over from the Senate. Right. So, so now that is per biennium, so that's for 2 years. But, you know, you can also work with other members. Let's just say, I'm part of our legislative delegation. They're in Craven County. If we're working on a bill, I may file the bill, and unless they represent Fischali, need to add something to that bill, or we can work out an issue there together, and also we can work out another, you know. So members can work together. That way, don't go to that bill limit. Or there's also opportunities to where if we're putting together a big bill such as a regulatory reform bill or the biggest bill that we file every year, which is the Appropriations Act, there's things that can be added or deleted from those bills. And you don't have to use, and those don't count against your bill limits. There's always ways to get things done. That's why it's so important for members to understand the rules of the House and the General Assembly.
All right. I'm just trying to fill in our listeners here so they'll understand the process a little bit better instead of wondering, well, what do they do up there? So a big part of the process, if you've got a possible 1,200 bills that could be submitted, is prioritizing those as to exactly what's the most important thing to take care of, I would guess.
Well, it is, and one of the things that we as a Republican caucus has worked on and has put forth is we actually put forth our agenda. And, when you're looking at the possibility of a long session, if our request for the U.S. Supreme Court is not held up, you're looking at a possibility of elections in 2017 and also 2018, we want to make sure that we're putting forth responsible legislation that really meets three thresholds. On one, does it bring the business industry or maintain business industry here in the state of North Carolina? Number two, does it put more money in citizens' pockets here in the state of North Carolina? And number three, does it make life better for individuals and families in North Carolina? And if we can hold our legislation to those three key components, normally they're pretty good legislation, and that's something that we can be proud to run on when it does come up on election time. But really, it's doing the right thing for the state of North Carolina.
All right. Sounds like a good process and should make your constituents happy. Another thing that our listeners and members here at CCTA are often concerned about is a piece of legislation goes in to address a particular issue. And by the time it gets around to being voted on, there's totally unrelated things have been tacked into the legislation. Do you see any effort to try to reduce that type of thing?
We like to call those Christmas tree bills with a bunch of different ornaments hanging all over it. We try to limit that. A lot of times when you see that happening is normally at the end of session when issues are starting to get done, and it has to be done quick. You become these big omnibus bills. I'm not a fan of the big omnibus bills. I think everything should be able to stand on its own, but members do use those to their advantage sometimes. But really, a lot of times when you have a bill like that, a lot of those issues have already been in a bill somewhere or have been taken up by the House or taken up by the Senate and didn't pass one chamber. Very rarely you have just a random new provision pops up, but The on the other end of that is when people do start trying to put pieces of legislation in a bill like that, it really hurts the bill. And a lot of times you can end up losing the bill. And that's how we've lost some big pieces of legislation in the last 4 years I've been there, because it just was too big a lift, or people said, hey, you know, I really like these provisions here, but it's just so much in here I don't like, I can't vote for it. And so we try to make a good conscious effort to let individual pieces of legislation stand on their own, and I'm hoping that the members will continue to do that.
All right. Well, one of the hot topics out there today is fake news, and I just want to let our listeners know, when they hear about things that so-and-so voted on or so-and-so put in a bill, the North Carolina General Assembly has a website, and it's called ncleg.net. And if you'll go there, you can see the text of the bills exactly as they're presented and as they change and as they're voted on. And you don't have to rely on the fake news out here telling you what's going on.
Exactly. I'll even take it a step further. When we're in session, those calendars are updated daily. And so your listeners can get a sense of what's going on a daily basis when we're in session.
All great features, you can listen. It's on
absolutely
audio, right.
And some news outlets actually do live feeds into the chamber. And, you know, that way you can not only listen to it, but you can watch it. It's been kind of amazing. And it shouldn't amaze you, but it still does. When you've been in, you're involved in these debates, or you're listening to these debates, and then you get home and turn on the news, and you're like, man, that's not what at all happened today.
Yeah, we're in the same room.
Or gosh, what state were they in? That's not what went on. But you know, I think the American public has realized that a lot of news outlets now are more editorial pieces and opinion pieces than they are news. And that's disappointing, because that's not what they were set up to do.
All right. Well, unfortunately, that's what it's gotten into. But I think in this last election cycle, a lot of that has been exposed, and people are much smarter now than they have been in the past, and are getting their news from different sources, like CCTA wake-up call.
And it's great to have outlets like this and other outlets that are out there that actually report facts. And that's what people, they want to know the truth. They want to understand what's going on, good, bad, ugly, indifferent. They want to be informed. And it's nice to have the outlet that actually do that instead of running slant pieces or fake news. Right. So thank you for putting this on the air.
Our pleasure. Also, you're familiar with CCTA. You know we're a watchdog
Correct.
Group. We make regular visits to the legislative activities that are going on in Raleigh and interact with the legislators. Can you tell our listeners, your constituents, what's the best vehicle for them to communicate with you? Is it phone, email, written letters?
It's phone, email. I would say if they're going to email, have it be an original email from them, not a standard form email where you click the website and put your name and so on, because I may get 900 of those, and if I read the first one, then I read the next 899. But if it's an informed email that comes in and has a name and a phone number and address to where I can respond back, a phone call does as good as well. Just be sure when you call to leave your name and phone number, a lot of people, believe it or not, don't do that. And it's very hard to respond to somebody when they don't leave their information, so I can respond. Or really, come by and pay a visit, whether it's schedule an appointment or if you're going to come up a day. It's easier if you schedule an appointment, so that way we can know you're coming and I'll be available. But any of those methods are great ways to not just talk with me, but to talk with all the legislators that are in the General Assembly. Because at the end of the day, I'm voted on by the people to serve the people of Eastern North Carolina, and I hold that in a very high regard and welcome any constituents that have issues that need to be addressed.
All right. Well, in a situation where you've got some contentious legislation on the table and you need support from your constituents out there, what's the best way that they can show support? Is it showing up in Raleigh, in person?
It's showing up in the Raleigh. It's saying, hey, what can we do to help? It's talking to the media outlet. It's getting involved. Those are all great ways to help show support. There's also ways to inform the legislator because, with 1,200 possible bills that can come through and bills flying from the Senate, I feel like our office does a pretty good job of keeping an eye on what's going on. But there may be a provision in the bill, or there may be a provision in this issue, or maybe a rumor or something's going to be filed that I may not have heard about or need to know a whole lot more information on, because I'm not an expert on everything. There's a whole lot more smarter people out there than I am. But the information they can give me to help me make informed decisions, to help me understand how it affects the district and the opinions of the district, it's key to helping me be successful. And it's also key to helping our district be successful, because what I don't like is when we pass a bill and I feel good about it, and then I get a phone call that says, hey, this provision right here affected my business this way or affected us this way. And if I'd known it on the front end, I could have headed that off. Now I got to go back and try to fix it, which is a whole lot harder task.
All right. Well, a good example of that is when CCTA and other grassroots groups showed up on the Common Core issue. The first meetings we attended, there were like two or three representatives present. And each time we went back, there were more and more as the word spread on what Common Core was really all about. So we got
a lot. And that's a great example, because not only were you there, you were informing the public, but you were informing the legislators, but also you were speaking and being an active voice in that process. And I can't thank you enough for the CCTA being an active voice, which has helped move this issue along.
Right. Well, it is the responsibility of the people. We say we the people. Well, we the people need to be involved in the process, because we can't expect to hold you accountable for things that we haven't been involved in. If we don't vote for you, if we don't get involved in the process, then we get what we get.
Well, and that's all we can ask for. I don't mind being held accountable, but I also want to be informed about what's going on. And that's a great way to help be informed on the issues that are addressing the state.
Well, it's refreshing to know that we do have representatives that are available to listen to the voice of the people. Know you got a busy session coming up. Are there any top priorities you'd like to tell us about?
Well, the first thing that we're going to have to deal with is redistricting. And that's an issue that's going to affect Eastern North Carolina. When you look at the way the districts were drawn, of course, they were drawn fair and legal and actually held up and passed muster under the Obama Department of Justice. But due to a radical court system, which should tell people how important it is to focus on those judicial races in the future. But when you're dealing with a very political bias and radical court system that has ruled the only court that has ruled our districts unconstitutional, we're going to have to come back and draw those, hopefully, under our new president-elect, Donald Trump. We will actually bring some stability back to the court system and bring fairness back to the court system and also bring that back to the U.S. Supreme Court. So we'll be taking up the challenge of redistricting when we get into session. Another thing that we pride ourselves on is looking at the tax reform that we did put in place about 4 years ago, and making sure that our state is still moving in a tax-friendly environment. Anything that we can do there as far as fixing loopholes or fixing loose ends to keep that on track, which by the way, has been a very, very big driver of economic development and economic success here in North Carolina. So we want to continue down that path. Regulatory reform is another proud bill that we put forward every year. Part of the reason the regulatory reform bill did not pass in this last session was, just like we mentioned before, was that Christmas tree effect. There got to be too many ornaments on the tree and it fell apart.
Right.
But we're going to put forth some more regulatory reform to look at how we can do away with burdensome regulations and really unnecessary regulations here in the state. And then the big project we have every year is the state budget. And this go around, we'll be working in a divided government with a Democratic governor. And even though we have veto-proof majorities in both chambers, we're still going to look at the priorities that Governor Cooper is going to put in play. And hopefully they will, if we're looking at tax relief for citizens of the state, if we're looking at responsible budgeting, we're looking at investing properly in education, investing in our state employees and teachers, those are going to be areas that we all can agree on. But if we're looking at tax increases and expansion of Obamacare and agenda items like that, it's going to be a tough budget cycle. But I feel like that's not going to be the case. So we're going to put forth a good budget, just like we did last year, that we can have an overwhelming majority of the House and Senate chambers on board with. So those are the big picture items. There will also be issues that pop up. One of the things that I'm looking at and have worked with Representative Fischale and Representative Cleveland and Senator Norm Sanderson and others from Eastern North Carolina is how do we replace the search and rescue helicopter and the mission there that we lost, the Pedro mission.
Pedro,
a very vital resource to Eastern North Carolina, also Western North Carolina. And we need to replace that because remember the first and foremost function of government is to keep citizens safe. And that is one thing that kept the citizens safe. And luckily, even though we did not have Pedro during Hurricane Matthew, we did have some capabilities to help people. But hopefully we'll never need it. But the odds are that we are going to need it. And we need to put the search and rescue helicopters back in play, not just in Eastern North Carolina, but in Western North Carolina as well. And so we're working with the Highway Patrol to do that. Another function that we've been working on is making sure that our law enforcement it is equipped to handle issues regardless of where they are in the state of North Carolina. So we do have some issues that we're going to have to address. One of the other projects, I won't say projects, one of the other missions that we're working on, and I'm actually very glad we're working on it, is we're going to have to work with a brand new superintendent of public instruction.
Right.
And with education representing 57% of our state budget, it's going to be a breath of fresh air working with someone that wants to move education in the right path. And I believe in public schools. I believe in charter schools. I believe in private schools. I believe in home schools. I believe in Christian schools. And I believe that every child in this state should have the opportunity to get a quality education. And every parent in this state should have the opportunity to make sure that child gets the education that they determine best. And it's going to be a breath of fresh air to work with a superintendent that believes it's about teaching children and growing our future than bureaucracy and politics. And so I'm excited about that. And we've got a new insurance commissioner, Mike Halsey, and we also have a new state treasurer. And so it's going to be interesting to work with him and the partnerships that will be created there. And so I'm very optimistic about the long session, and hopefully it'll be a good one for the state.
Well, the changes to the education structure there, I know that part of that's being held up in court right now, but we hope that all gets straightened out because it is refreshing to know that we have an opportunity to make some advances in education. Also, I wanted to ask you, do you see any early signs of any bipartisan cooperation with Governor and his administration?
I have not had any contact with the governor or anyone in his administration. And so being the House Majority Leader, I would hope we could have some conversations, but at this point in time, I have not had any contact at all with anybody from the governor's office. I think that if our new governor wants to move the state forward, wants to continue the tax breaks for our citizens, wanting to continue to grow business, wants to continue to loosen unnecessary regulatory regulations, wants to raise teacher pay, wants to raise state employee pay, wants to do responsible budgeting, we're going to have a lot that we can agree on. But I am concerned about some of the cabinet appointments that have been announced. I have a real concerned about the comments that were made yesterday about a 5% tax increase to expand Obamacare here in North Carolina. Those are going to be met with staunch opposition here in the House, because that is not the right thing to do for North Carolina, especially when 70+% of North Carolinians are fed up with Obamacare. Businesses have struggled because the cost burden on not just employers but individuals, and when healthcare premiums have increased by 24% just alone here in North Carolina, to want to expand that unnecessary burden on individuals, I have a big problem with that, and I would think the CCTA would be right there with me with some issues on that as well.
Absolutely. You let us know what you need, John. We do appreciate your time again. I know you're very busy. You got another function to go to. So Representative John Bell, House Majority Leader, we've been talking with him. And you can get all the contact information for John and any of your other representatives at ncleg.net. And it lists all your representatives and their phone numbers and email addresses there. So, John, have a good upcoming session. We'll be with you all the way.
Well, we'll look forward to seeing you in Raleigh, and Happy New Year to everyone, and come visit us. Thank you very much for your time today.
Thank you.
Okay, we'll take a quick break to hear from our sponsors, and then when we come back, we're going to be talking to Representative Michael Speciale.
Bite Me Firearms, crazy name for an outstanding gun shop. Bite Me Firearms carries a variety of guns. They handle transfers, have one-day on-site concealed carry training, do AR customization, and will put their gun prices against anyone within 50 miles. Bite Me Firearms, Old Cherry Point Road, New Bern. For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out rightwinggranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to rightwinggranny.com.
Y'all ready for this? The County Compass is a rapidly growing, free weekly newspaper throughout eastern North Carolina. At the County Compass, we believe small business is the future of our great nation. Many small business owners have discovered that an ad in the County Compass each week is the most effective, the most affordable way to reach thousands of readers from all walks of life. At the County Compass, we focus entirely on local and regional news, coverage of important issues that directly affect your life. At the County Compass, we love our readers and we love our advertisers. This Thursday and every Thursday at more than 750 distribution points throughout eastern North Carolina, pick up your free copy of the County Compass newspaper.
Would you like to improve your overall health without the use of prescription drugs? Is stress causing you health concerns? Do you want more energy? We hope that you would like to experience optimum health the rest of your life. We offer a free nutritional consultation to the listeners of this radio program. Call the office of Gladys Sussell, wellness educator and nutritional consultant, at 252-728-2118 to make an appointment to start your journey to optimum health.
Have you got a topic you'd like to hear discussed on CCTA Wake Up Call? Well, then contact us at cctaxpayers.com or email hal@cctaxpayers.com. That's Hal, H-A-L, at cctaxpayers.com. We're a conservative talk radio show, but we value your opinion and would love to have you join us. Again, contact hal@cctaxpayers.com.
Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call. As promised before we went to break, we have on the line with us tonight Representative Michael Speciale. Michael, how are you?
I'm fine. Hope everybody's doing well.
We are, and wishing you a happy new year. Of course, I know you're into a new legislative session, and we've been talking with House Majority Leader John Bell about that. And I just want to get your perspective on what to expect in this legislative session.
Well, I'm hoping this is the only legislative session this year, since we had six of them last year.
Right.
Well, you know, we can expect some interesting things. Certainly there'll be some interesting conversations. There'll be conversations about standing up to the federal courts and the federal government. And now, you know, how we do it, what we do, if we do anything, remains to be seen. But those conversations will be had because they've already started.
And how are those conversations going? Are you getting a lot of support to stand up and push back on the federal government?
Well, yeah. Surprisingly, there's more support there than it appeared. Again, the conversations are young, but they'll advance as we get into session. I was surprised by people who seemed supportive of the idea. So, and I think we do need to stand up to the federal government. When you have the federal courts intervened in a situation here with this redistricting, for example, that they really, I fail to see where they have authority to intervene. It's a state issue. This only involves state elections, and our state courts, all the way up through the Supreme Court, validated what the districting. So, you know, I mean, I guess if you judge shop enough, which is what the other side was doing, eventually you can find a judge, a federal judge, that's sympathetic to your case.
Right. Well, I know a lot of our listeners will agree with you on this because they're tired of the federal government intruding on our sovereign rights here. You know, we've suffered a lot of losses because of that. We had our marriage amendment overturned by a judge. We had our voter ID law overturned by a judge, and not elected judges either. So we're tired. It's time for some pushback.
Well, and this is the game plan. I mean, this has been the game plan all along. Demonize, destroy, and eviscerate. You know, that was the blueprint North Carolina's idea of how they were going to deal with things. So everything we do ends up in the courts. So it's time, you know, it's getting old. It's time for us to stand up and say, you know what, this is getting ridiculous.
Right. And as you said, the judge shopping aspect of it, they do that. We go to court time and time again, and if they're not satisfied with the results, they go looking for another judge that will agree with them. Well,
yeah.
There are a lot of hot issues being talked about and debated. Our new governor, no longer governor-elect, but Governor Roy Cooper, has started making some cabinet appointments. And any comments on that?
I'm not happy with the one, and I can't remember his name right now, but who thinks it's okay to sit to not stand during the national anthem, to not respect veterans. That was, I think, that was one of his first appointments. Not a good start.
Yeah.
His comments on doing an executive order is what he said initially. Now he's talking about going to the federal government. Requesting from the federal government expansion of Medicaid.
John said he hadn't had any conversation with the governor or anyone in his administration. Have you had any contact? Anybody reaching out to work with you across the aisle? Or?
No, there's been nothing yet. But then we're not actually in session yet. You know, we're not up there until next Wednesday, the 11th. And But it's all in the papers that he's getting in front of groups saying this is what he's going to do. So, I guess the Speaker and of the House and the President Pro Tem of the Senate are aware of what he's been saying and what his intentions are. But it's completely illegal for him to do anything to try and expand Medicaid.
Well, I know he's going to push that issue, and he'll find some judges out there probably that'll go along with him. But hopefully, our new president-elect will be able to appoint some judges at higher levels that could reverse that. I don't know.
We're hoping. We got our fingers crossed. We're still waiting for the federal courts to deal. I know the three-judge panel decided not to stay the order on redistricting, so we got to continue to move forward on that. But we're hoping the full court, the Supreme Court, will consider staying. The Chief Justice will consider staying it.
Well, John mentioned some issues affecting Eastern North Carolina. One was trying to get the Rescue Service Pedro back in operation down here. which would be a great benefit to Eastern North Carolina, or to all of North Carolina, actually. But one issue he didn't mention is the issue with the commercial fishing. Our fishermen down here are hurting. Do you know of any legislation or efforts in that area?
Not at this juncture, but everybody's looking at what legislation. I've got a whole folder of stuff, you know, to mull over to decide what you know, set the priorities and determine what legislation I'm going to put in. That's pretty much the same with everybody right at this point. The marine fisheries was created so the General Assembly would not have to go in and make decisions on stuff that we're not well suited to make decisions on. But, you know, when you get appointments like we've had where the board now is not an evenly appointed board, commercial versus recreational, it's now leans towards the recreational side. That skews the rules and everything coming out of there and puts everything back one way or another into the General Assembly where it shouldn't be in the first place. But
right.
So my point here, I guess, is that I would expect that we'll be dealing with some type of legislation with regard to fishing issues.
Well, I know y'all put a lot of effort into trying to return some of the powers that over a long period of time have been shifted in our government. You put them back to where they really belong. And I know that there's court action ongoing about some of that. One of them being the education system and the powers of the superintendent. We have a new superintendent now. Do you have any hopes that this is going to be the end of Common Core for North Carolina, or do you think it's still going to be an uphill battle?
Well, I don't know how committed the new superintendent is. Now, he's mentioned, I mean, I did talk to him about it, and he said it leaned in that direction, but I'm just not so sure. I guess it remains to be seen. I mean, if we've got to put in legislation and direct exactly how it's to be done, then, you know, I have no problem attempting to do that. But I'm hoping that he'll take the lead on it.
Okay. I know that in the last session, there was some gun legislation that was introduced, and it never got completed. I think Representative Larry Pittman's planning on reintroducing some of that this time.
I think he's already prepared the bills and prepared to submit them, some of the same stuff that he did last time.
Okay, that's going to move us closer to constitutional carry, I hope.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Good.
So he's got two separate bills, and right at this moment, I can't remember specifically what they're both on. One of them was constitutional carry, but I can't remember what the other one was.
Well, we're looking.
Yeah, there'll be plenty of gun bills.
Plenty of them. Okay. Well, that sounds good because, you know, without our Second Amendment rights, it makes it hard for us to protect our First Amendment rights or any of the rest of them.
Well, everybody that has ideas of what they want to do submits their bills, and what we've done historically since the Republicans have been in charge is take all the bills and kind of consolidate them into an omnibus gun bill, so we're only really putting through one gun bill instead of 20 or 25, whatever, you know.
Right. And that should make it easier to get through. But when you mention omnibus, I had talked a little bit with John about that and the practice of this legislation being put in to solve one particular problem. And before you get to the vote on it, there's all kinds of unrelated stuff tacked into the bill. And
When I say omnibus, I'm referring to all of those bills that are all gun bills, all the same thing, and just consolidating them all into one bill.
Right.
But I know what you're talking about, where we've got omnibus bills that have a half a dozen different subjects in them. I don't like them either, and we fought against them, and we will continue to fight against them. At least the conservatives up there will.
You mentioned conservatives. You know, CCTA is a conservative grassroots organization, and I'm just wondering on the conservative caucus, if there is a conservative caucus, are we growing in the number of conservatives, or are we holding our ground? How's the future look for conservative faction up there?
Well, we've got a bunch of new people. We've got two new conservatives that I'm aware of, and some of the Other folks remain to be seen. I don't know them well enough yet. I can tell you, Representative Cody from out west, young reserve Marine. He seems to be a good, strong conservative. He'll be working with us, and we were fortunate to get Beverly Boswell. What's that name?
Cody Hansen,
I'm sorry. And Beverly Boswell from Beaufort Dare, who replaced Paul Tyne. She's a very strong conservative. She's already sowing her oats in that direction.
Well, let me add there that Hun is better known as Hazel Speciale, and that's the one that keeps you straight up there.
That's correct. She's also my legislative aide, for those who don't know.
Right. Well, Michael, I know you're a former Marine. Thank you for your service to our country. It looks like our president-elect is going to be working harder for our military, and we're going to end up having a stronger military than what we've had over the last 8 years or so. How do you feel about that?
I feel good about it. I feel the same way you do. I think we're going to see some good things. I feel good about the new presidency. So far, so good. His appointments have been pretty good. So I'm optimistic there. I'm optimistic about the new General Assembly. We lost the governor, but again, we still maintain a veto-proof majority, so legislation comes from the General Assembly, not from the governor. So I don't see where that's going to make a heck of a lot of difference. So I look forward to some good things, and if people have ideas on things, what they need to do is just contact us. Now is the time to get a hold of us, send us emails, or call the office, and let us know what types of legislation or what issues are important to you.
All right. Well, I know it's too early to tell now. We have to wait for him to get inaugurated and everything to start happening. But North Carolina being a heavy military state, here in eastern North Carolina, we're surrounded by military bases. Do you anticipate potential for growth in those areas, as far as bringing in more military and more jobs?
I don't see anything on the horizon right at this moment, but On that same note, I don't see anything to indicate that we're going to lose anything either.
Well, that's definitely good news.
So,
well, our guys in service, we owe them a big debt of gratitude for what they've done for this country. And I'm glad to see that they are finally going to be treated the way they need to be treated. At least I hope it turns out that way.
I hope so, too.
All right. Well, have you got anything else on your mind that you'd like to share with us as far as things you'd like to accomplish in the upcoming session?
Well, just, everybody needs to keep in mind that as it stands right at this moment, we have to run for our seats again in November. So, we don't want anybody getting too relaxed and forgetting about the fact that, we've got to hang on to what we have. And There is a huge opposition building in preparation for 2017.
Right. Yeah, that's an election we didn't anticipate we were going to have to hold, but we are, unless something happens in the judicial system to change that. But I would like to tell our listeners, guys, you've got to know who's on these ballots. The down ballot thing hurt us on some of our judge things. You can't just go in there uninformed. You need to take some time, and CCTA's website's a great place to go and get started. We do vetting reports on our candidates where we talk to them. All candidates are invited to participate, and you can look at their responses. They all get asked the same questions, and they're along conservative lines, constitutional views and all. And you need to know who you're voting for. That's one of the reasons we lost some of our important positions, is because people went into the polls with just the presidential and the governor races in mind and didn't have a clue about a lot of the other names on the ballot. All right, well, let's take a break here and hear from our sponsors. And when we come back, we'll continue our conversation with Representative Michael Speciale.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern.
Panicelli's Pizzeria in River Bend features handmade Italian dishes, lasagna, spaghetti, fettuccine alfredo, stromboli, calzone, and many more. Panicelli's uses only the freshest ingredients, and they have fantastic New York-style pizza in four sizes or by the slice. Panicelli's Pizzeria also has great salads and subs. Panicelli's is easy to find. Just head to River Bend and Panicelli's will be at 40 Shoreline Drive. For authentic Italian food at an affordable price, head to Panicelli's Pizzeria in River Bend.
As a strong advocate of Second Amendment rights, CCTA is proud to be involved with S&D Gun and Knife Shows. The next S&D Gun and Knife Show will be in Greenville at the Convention Center on Saturday and Sunday, January 7th and 8th. Buy, sell, and trade with Eastern North Carolina's best dealers and enjoy the most competitive prices in the state. Most gun enthusiasts and collectors agree. S&D Gun and Knife Shows are the place to be. January 7th and 8th at the Convention Center in Greenville.
The County Compass is a rapidly growing, free, weekly newspaper throughout eastern North Carolina. At the County Compass, we believe small business is the future of our great nation. Many small business owners have discovered that an ad in the County Compass each week is the most effective, the most affordable way to reach thousands of readers from all walks of life. At the County Compass, we focus entirely on local and regional news. Coverage of important issues that directly affect your life. At the County Compass, we love our readers and we love our advertisers. This Thursday and every Thursday at more than 750 distribution points throughout eastern North Carolina, pick up your free copy of the County Compass newspaper.
You're listening to CCTA Wake Up Call right here on The Talk Station, FM 107.1 WTKF Atlanta. CCTA Wake Up Call is a production of Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association, and you can join us here every Sunday morning at 11 a.m. and every Sunday evening at 8 p.m. for the best in conservative talk radio in eastern North Carolina. That's CCTA Wake Up Call. Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call, the place where patriots come to talk.
We've been talking to Representative Michael Speciale about the upcoming legislative session and some of the things he'd like to see accomplished during that session. So, Michael, y'all will be going into session next Wednesday, correct?
That's correct. We'll go into session, we'll do the swearing in. Then we will recess until the 24th, I believe, the 24th or 25th. Okay. And then we will actually go back, and then actually we will start be in session full time.
So when do you anticipate we can expect to see the fireworks start?
probably see some starting on the 11th, you know? But with some of the conversations, the news teams are, you know, since Trump is not talking to the news media, they're going to be hitting everybody else that they can.
Okay. One of the questions I asked John was, how can your constituents, what's the best method for them to interact with you that you would be able to get their assistance when you need it in backing some of these bills you'll be introducing?
Anyone that's ready to jump into the fight and fight for those things that you believe in, if you'll send us some information letting us know that your contact info, when we need help, we're going to call. And we've done it before. CCTA jumped in and saved the day in a couple of cases.
Okay. And you say send the contact information. Is that via email?
Via email, yeah. Michael.Speciale, S-P-E-C-I-A-L-E, at NCLEG.net. any representative, it's their first name, dot, their last name, at ncleg.net.
Right.
Any senator or representative.
And if any of you forget that, as I mentioned in the first session, the ncleg.net website lists all your representatives and gives you all their contact information. And I'm sure Michael will agree. I think that most of your representatives, at least your conservative representatives, covet your interaction with them and letting them know your views on certain issues. So do what you should do as a constituent and interact with them.
The best thing that people can do, get involved with the CCTA.
You
guys stay in touch with us. You know what's going on. And so if they want to get involved and they want to make a difference, CCTA is one way to do it.
Well, thank you for that. I appreciate it. Of course, Michael is a member of CCTA also. He was instrumental in the founding of it, and he's past chair. And we appreciate all the work he's done in the past and the work he's doing now as a legislator. Well, Michael, I appreciate you taking time out, and we'll be talking with you again later on in the session. And if you need any help at all, just give us a call.
All righty. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you. Well, once again, we've been talking to Representative Michael Spicielli, a North Carolina state legislator. And before that, we talked to Representative John Bell, House Majority Leader. And folks, there's a lot going on up there in Raleigh. And the opposition to a lot of the causes that we as conservatives care about, they're there on a regular basis, making their voices heard and their presence known. And they've been very successful in getting things done by being in the media and being seen. They also were very disruptive during some of the special sessions that were held. They were beating on the glass and stomping on the floor and yelling throughout the session so that the Capitol Police had to make some arrests and take some of them out of there. But well, let's listen to a quick example here.
Not one step back! Not one step back!
Forward together.
Not one step back.
Forward together.
Not one step back.
Either leave the building or stop.
Thank you. Forward
okay.
together.
Not one step back.
You're going to be under arrest.
Anybody want my sign?
Thank you.
We love you.
Thank you.
Forward together.
Not one step back.
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 Now one step back. We'll address that downstairs. The people united will never be defeated. The people united will never be defeated. The people united will never be defeated. The Zulu say, La Sima through the Chinde, Mbilichaka. We shall conquer without a doubt. La Sima through the Chinde, Mbilichaka.
Well, there you go. The organizers of that call it a protest, but that wasn't a protest. That was an orchestrated event to get media attention and to disrupt the General Assembly while they were trying to conduct their business. And, you know, a lot of the people in the crowd there weren't even from North Carolina. They were brought in just for that purpose. Some of them probably even paid to participate. You know, that's just totally uncalled for. When CCTA takes a group to Raleigh to visit our legislators, we don't garner much media attention because we're respectful of the People's House and the business that's being conducted there. And I guess that doesn't make good news coverage. Frankly, it would be a lesson in civility for those that were so disruptive during the special sessions that were being held. We wouldn't want that to happen, would we? Well, I hope you have enjoyed today's program. CCTA often interacts with our elected officials so that we might bring you the news of what's going on in our local and state politics. CCTA Our mission statement, the Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association, is a grassroots, nonprofit, nonpartisan organization that advocates minimum government and maximum freedom. We are dedicated to the preservation of free enterprise and the United States Constitution. Excessive taxation upon citizens is unconstitutional, immoral, and a complete contradiction of success through the free market system. We are dedicated to serve our community, our state, and our country by oversight, research, public education, and advocacy in the legislative, executive, and judicial branches of government. And we encourage you to get involved, be an active part of your community, and be a political activist. Get just like these folks that we were listening to earlier, go to Raleigh, but don't act like they act. Do it respectfully. Talk to your legislators, find out what issues they're dealing with and how you can help to show your support for conservative values that you agree with. Because it's good to know we do have some conservative legislators that are fighting daily battles up there to return us to a more conservative government here in the state of North Carolina. The opposition, as you have seen here or heard here, is well-organized, well-funded, and that's why CCTA needs all the help that you can give us. If you decide you want to be a member of CCTA, it's only $12 a year, and we'll work with you on that if we have to. CCTA is a nonprofit, nonpartisan organization, and we are a 501c3, and we could use your financial assistance to help offset the cost of what we do. We hand out free constitutions of the United States. We participate at local gun shows. We hand out those constitutions. We pass out petitions on certain legislation that reflects our conservative values, and we try to get as many signatures as we can to share with our representatives in those battles that they're fighting. So CCTA is very proactive, a grassroots organization, and we invite you to please join us at our regularly scheduled monthly meetings. We have our business meeting on the second Monday of every month, but our public meetings, which are free and open to the public, are held the third Tuesday of every month, and they're held in downtown New Bern at Stanley Hall Ballroom at 7 p.m. We usually bring in some very well-known speakers from around the country, around the state. We've even had speakers from around the world come in and talk to us on hot topics, hot political issues that are going on. And those meetings are usually well attended. And we appreciate everybody that does come out and join us at the meetings, because we get to talk to you firsthand. And we have our legislators, our local elected officials often are there. And you can talk to them face-to-face, one-on-one. After each presentation that we have from our speakers, we open up the floor to a question-and-answer session. So you can ask your questions and get them answered right there on the spot. So please consider that. Come into our next meeting, which will be the third Tuesday of the month. And you can go to cctaxpayers.com. And all the details, the time, the location, who the speaker's going to be, are all posted there at cctaxpayers.com. You can also, while you're there, click on the Donate tab to help support us financially. Again, we're a 501c3, so that donation will be tax deductible. Well, that's all the time we have for today's show, and we appreciate you joining us for CCTA Wake Up Call and look forward to being with you again next week.
Just who are these people doing this CCTA program? They're people like you, a photographer, someone that ran their own business, someone retired from the military. Just people in the community that love this country and have a desire to do their part to lower taxes and shrink government, to protect individual liberty, and to preserve the U.S. Constitution and free enterprise system. We welcome you to come out to a meeting. If you like what you see and hear, there's a place where you can contribute to the cause. To learn more, go to cctaxpayers.com. That's cctaxpayers.com. The group meets every third Tuesday at Stanley Hall Ballroom in downtown New Bern to enjoy a fantastic speaker and report on CCTA activity since the last meeting. If you've been disappointed with rising taxes and government intrusion, don't just complain. Join Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association and make your voice heard.